Welcome in District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update. And Senator Jacobson, like Rick said, a horrible situation going on right here in the legislative district.
It is. I was at a meeting last night, and Jay Jones was there. Jay is one of the community leaders up there in Thomas County and lives there in Thedford. And Jay's, by the way, is kind of one of those guys who left and ended up retiring and came back to his hometown and has done a lot to really kind of help keep that community going and
good
thriving. And so he's an amazing guy. But we were in an event last night together, and he was showing me some video that was sent to him on that fire up in the forest itself. And boy, that's a horrible fire. And the wind, you know, way it was hooping and hollering. And, these firefighters, I'm telling you, if people don't fully appreciate them today, they never will. I mean, this throughout the entire district and the region out here, these firefighters have been going continuously. I did have an opportunity to go over to Sutherland the other day for their open house, and and I made a contribution to them. I just feel that these guys are so underappreciated for what they do, and I'm not saying people don't appreciate them. I'm just saying that you just can't imagine what their lives have been like this last year in particular.
Yeah.
And we were talking then about, knock on wood, there hadn't been any harvest fires yet. And then here this fire breaks out up at Halsey. And with all of the dry grass up there, and then, of course, with the forest, boy, it gets in that forest and you get wind blowing, and it just jumps rivers, and it's just hard to stop and very, very dangerous.
Once it gets into all the trees, it's hard to get equipment to where you need it.
Exactly.
So, you have to wait till it burns to the next point that you can get to it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's exactly right. Although it's amazing some of the equipment they have. I got a kick over in Sutherland. Boy, they got some pretty cool stuff over there. They
awesome.
Really do.
That's the best place to see it is in a situation like that.
That's right.
I got a story about one of them I'll tell you off the air that's kind of cool.
All right.
Senator Jacobson, it was a busy week for you last week. I got to see you at the backyard barbecue for a little bit, too. Did you stick around for that big football game Friday?
We did for part of it. I didn't. We had another event we had to get to. And I hated it because, wow, what a game. Who'd have thunk it, you know?
Yeah.
I went out to Pal's Brewery, Brewing Company with a buddy to finish watching that game, and I'm glad we did. It was pretty awesome.
It was an amazing outcome. Kudos to that team and to the coaches. That was an amazing performance. Number one team in the state. And they take them down right here in North Platte. And really, what a great time to have it with the backyard barbecue, which I don't know about you, but I was so stuffed from the backyard barbecue that I couldn't hardly walk.
That's one of those casualties of office, isn't it?
It really is.
Well, you're not in as bad of a spot as what Dr. Rhodes and Mayor Kelleher were as our taste testers. I asked them, you guys skip lunch today? Are there official judging capacity like that? It's a fun gig, as you know, Senator Jacobson, but you kind of got to pace yourself for it all day.
You absolutely do. Once you jump into something, it's like, this is really good, I'll have seconds of this. No, don't be doing that. Take half portions of everything.
Yes. Again, District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update. And Senator Jacobson, more excitement this week, especially tomorrow, as we're gearing up for a big event here in the downtown community of North Platte, hosting Governor Ricketts, Congressman Smith, and even Senator Fisher, along with other of your colleagues throughout the state.
Correct. Actually, there's two big events going on tomorrow. We've got the long-awaited sustainable beef. I think they're officially calling it the construction commencement. And, 2 years ago, really 2 years ago this month, that Gary Pearson brought the organizers into my office, and I was serving as chairman of the CRA at the time, and said, hey, we want to talk to you about a very large TIF project, and here's what we want to do. And of course, I asked him two questions that I thought were the key questions, and that was, first of all, how are you going to control the odor? And secondly, where are we going to find the employees, and how will they assimilate? And so over the last 2 years, there was a lot of time spent on really answering those two questions, getting a good feel for how that's going to work, and including really taking a trip out to Kuna, Idaho, to really look at the plant that will be a mate to what this one is. The only difference between these two plants is the one here is going to cost about twice as much due to what's happened with cost inflation.
What doesn't cost twice as much?
Bingo. I'm very excited about it. I think that when you look at they're going to need about 875 employees, but let's put that in perspective. The Walmart Food Distribution Center today employs 600. Now they're running around the clock, where Sustainable Beef will just be running a day shift. But and so I think we always kind of put that number in perspective. But with that said, the DCs continue to look for people, and so it will be a challenge to hire. But I also believe that this plant will be a very modern plant, certainly state of the art. And I think there'll be workers that are in other plants that would rather work here. And so then it becomes a question of how do we transport them and how to provide housing in order to make all that work. And, fortunately, we've got a couple of years to make that happen. But we've got to continue to plan for that. And I think the city council and others are really working diligently on that today. And they need to continue to do that. And we're going to need to continue to look really in the legislature as we I look at these ARPA dollars that some of which may not get spent. I'm going to be very focused on trying to figure out if some of these dollars that may come back could get redirected back here to the 42nd District, where we could provide additional housing, not just here in North Platte, but really in the entire region. What we've really found is there are a lot of people that want to live in the villages in and around this area. And that goes beyond Hershey and Sutherland and Maxwell and Brady, but it also includes Stapleton and Tryon and really on further north. And so
throughout the entire district.
It really is. And it's amazing, particularly the railroad sees that, where you've got people traveling from a long distance. And I would expect that they're going to be very flexible in their hiring practices, where they may set it up to where you could come in and work fewer days or work the hours that make sense for you. And that's what they're doing at the D.C., and that seems to be able to allow them to find the employee base that they have and that they need.
You mentioned one item with the sustainable beef, the odor issue. And early on they said, it was going to be state-of-the-art, and that was like the plan up in Idaho, and they had some type of system where they entrained all the effluent flow of air out of the plant and ran it through a secondary incinerator to kill all the odor off. And then there was a story in the Telegraph where they said they weren't going to do that because they didn't need it. The technology was different. But I never heard what they were doing. Do you have any idea how they're going to do that?
I can't get clear in the weeds on this one, but what I can tell you is I was asking those same questions, and I think there's two answers that you need to be aware of. And number one, they're employing the same kind of technology that's at CUNA. That has been very effective. So that's really what they're intending to do. But there's a safeguard there in terms of the agreements that were entered into, was there had to be an odor level. And so basically, and the city has purchased equipment. In fact, they're testing now to really determine what are the odors that are out there today, okay, so that we know what the baseline is. And then there will be a tolerance in terms of what odor can be coming once that plant is built. So I think rather than dictating to the owners of the plant what equipment they use, we're more concerned about what's the odor that's going to be emitted and make sure that you stay below that. And so, but I think the technology continues to evolve, but they're keenly aware of the fact that an odor problem would not be acceptable. And really, if you think about it today, remember years ago when you would drive by Lexington, you could smell Lexington from 30 miles away. Mm-hmm. And today you drive by Lexington and it's rare that you're going to find odor coming from their plant.
And Senator Jacobson, you talked about housing a minute ago. And back here at the home front in North Platte, there's some big issues going on in front of the Planning Commission last week with the proposal for the housing development out kind of by Indian Meadows and Powell's Brewing Company. And that conversation going to be forging ahead as well, I think, with City Council tomorrow. So that's more promising news.
Yeah, I think there's some issues that got raised here in terms of what the use of that property can be used for. I can tell you, and again, I'm not an attorney, but I've seen one on played on TV.
And whatever motel you stayed at, what commercial?
That's right.
Did you see the Holiday Inn last night?
I had a good night's sleep last night too, so I'm in position to answer this question. But I think there was some concern where there was land that was basically within the city limits that was traded that was really dedicated to parks. And so then the question was that the understanding at the time was this land had to be used for parks. And so is that a problem? Well, no matter what the discussions were, I think you really have to go back and look at what was in writing. And there were no restrictions in the deeds. There were really nothing, in, from what I understand, in how that property was transferred. So whatever the verbal conversations may have been, I think at the end of the day, what's going to carry the day is what was in writing, and I don't believe there was anything in writing. And so I think the ruling that they're getting at this point is that that there will be no restrictions and this could be used for housing. And I think there's a sense, too, that when you look at the parks and recreation availability that we have today, do you really want to spend more money on new parks, or do you want to take any dollars that are available and improve the ones that we have and maintain the ones that we have? And so I think that's some of the discussion they're having. That's outside of my purview. I don't want to do the city council's job for them. I've got my hands full in the legislature, and so I'm going to kind of stick to my lane, but I will certainly help them to the extent that they want my help at the legislative level.
Are the principal parties that were involved in that land swap, are they still around?
Yeah, I believe they are.
Yep. Well, this was spearheaded, I believe, by Dr. Boettcher, if memory serves correct.
Yes, and at the end of the day, I don't know that they're the ones that are concerned about it. I think I don't think they're the ones that are saying you can't do this. I think the question was, is there some federal issue out there or state issue that says because this was dedicated to parks originally and then it was swapped to use for that, then are we somehow tied because of some state or federal reg?
Yeah.
I'm kind of old school in this, but my concern is there may not be anything in writing, but if the principal parties still say, yes, that was the agreement, I think it should be honored.
Well, but I think what the difference here is I don't think the principals that are involved are raising an objection. They just brought it to the attention of the people there that, hey, there may be an issue here that you might want to research. And so I think they've researched it now and have come to the conclusion that there's no obligation that they can see. And I think the title company would be saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. So the original people involved in the swap really, I don't think, have a dog in this fight. I don't think they're saying, hey, you can't do this. They're just saying, hey, by the way, before you proceed, you might make sure that you're on good ground with this.
Okay.
So I think that's where it's coming from.
Anything else you wanted to bring up from a legislative stance this morning, Senator Jacobson?
Well, I want to also mention, while the governor's here, he's also going to be going out to the rail park, and he's going to tour the rail park. And so I think he wants to kill two birds with one stone while he's here.
He's trying to save on gas.
That's what it is.
Today.
Yeah. That's
the
what
governor
it
is valuing
efficiency. He tends to be a frugal individual. So
yeah. I like that, though.
That's efficiency. That's efficiency in government right there. But I think that was also a project that, while that project's been going for a long time, I remember when Gary Pearson first came to North Platte and he was really excited about building a rail park and getting on the railroad, and all of a sudden he hit a brick wall when UP said, oh, by the way, we're not going to give you a rail siding because you're going to slow down the traffic. And so he was gung-ho, ready to come in here and get a lot of manufacturing going, and was just stopped in his tracks. And so this has been a project that's been on Gary's mind really since he got here. And then several of us met really with UP probably 4 or 5 years ago when they were making their changes with leadership and the changes what they were going to do here in North Platte. And then we were able to get the inroad where they were willing to cave on allowing us to do something there. And then, of course, when we saw the closure of the Greenbrier plant, that facility, that made it's been available. It's got the siding there. And then once the legislature, we were able to get the $30 million in funding to come make it happen. That's really what's kicked it in gear here, and now it's going to move it forward. So we're excited about that project. I think between that and sustainable beef, we're going to have a lot on our plate the next few years here, and it'll be some exciting times.
Yeah, we've got some great things going on here throughout the entire district, Senator Jacobson, and it's going to, I mean, this is just the beginning, really.
It really is, and this has to happen. I know, as I've continued to knock on doors and talk to people, I know people ask about, you know, how do we get these restaurants? How do we get these retailers? How do we get this in North Platte?
Sure.
And the answer is real simple. The answer is not only do we need to raise our population number, but we need to raise the direction of our population growth. This region, not just North Platte, this region needs to start growing population. If we can change the trajectory and go from the 23.5 roughly that we're at today in North Platte and start moving that higher, then retailers are going to start looking at us, restaurants to look at it, because they want to see this region grow. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, you go to Omaha, in a five-year period of time, they'll grow more than the size of North Platte. So that's why we've got to grow, and not just grow North Platte, but grow this entire region, because yep. this is a regional economy. People come here for jobs. People come here for shopping and for medical care. And so this region needs to grow, and anything we can do to grow the region will help us all.
And speaking of medical care, this sparked a thought, too. Last week, you were at the official ribbon cutting for the Community Build Playground, too. That's kind of an exciting thing that our community's done as well that maybe is flying under the radar a little bit now.
It really is, and what was really amazing about that project is it was a handful of people who really wanted a better place for and this for their kids, and it kind of came a little bit out of left field, and I was a little surprised when they came to us and said, would you be willing to support this? And all of a sudden, they started gaining momentum, and we said, well, yeah, we'll get behind it because you guys have shown the interest and shown that you're willing to do the work it's going to take to bring it together. And here we are. We got to the point with the ribbon cutting, and I really want to thank everyone, businesses and others that got involved in helping fund it, and particularly want to thank the organizers and all the hard work that they put in and all the volunteers that came in and put that together. It was really cool. And I got to tell you, it's we're going to be celebrating the canteen history here this weekend. And when you start thinking about just that whole spirit throughout this entire region, as I've traveled around to the villages and towns and villages in District 42, you go to every town and you've got people that take pride in what they're doing. You've got mm-hmm. community leaders and volunteers that are doing what they can with the resources they have to really put the best face on what they're doing. It's something that we do here in rural Nebraska that I'm not sure that the metro areas really can fully appreciate.
I'm sure they can.
Well, and it's been amazing. And this is another one of those projects that's actually happened here in North Platte. But it's really heartening to see it happen. And I know the kids that there's something for all the kids to work with there, and they were having a great time there at the ribbon cutting.
Senator Jacobson, if folks want to get in contact with you as our District 42 Senator, how can they do so, sir?
Sure, they can give me a call at the office. Actually, they're going to talk to Christina or Joe when they call, but that number is area code 402-471-2729, or they can email me at mjacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov. And I get the emails, I respond to the emails. So would love to hear from you. And there's still a lot going on. Besides being in campaign mode, I'm also serving as your state senator, and I'm spending a lot of time answering emails and following up on issues that are out there.
Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time. Look forward to tomorrow's event. Folks can talk to you then, and you'll be going with the governor over to Hershey as well, I believe, tomorrow to check out the rail parks.
That's correct.
Awesome. Thank you, Senator Jacobson. We'll see you again next week, sir.
Thank you, guys.